Okay, so people who are new, welcome back. We're in the middle of the. It's a commentary on the greatest book on emptiness ever written. You know, and I was like calculating in my very careful way that it might actually go past the three-year retreat, since we're only 20 pages into it after 5 years. And so I just wanted to say it's my intention to keep going after the three-year retreat, okay? I'm not going to try to rush it, and you know, because we couldn't do that. And then we have to finish the other book that goes with it. I told Nimbo, we're working on a logic text. I said, well, the primary text will take you 10 years. And then the really good one will take you another 10 years. And he's like, okay, I'm up for that. You know. So anyway, here we go. He tried to prove that you have to see emptiness to remove your negative emotions permanently. Okay, he was trying to prove that. And he went through logical proofs for that, and then he finished. And now he's going through scriptural proofs for that. So normally, these would only be used in a debate with Buddhists, okay? So, you know, they're not really things that you can always use. Normally, when you try to prove a point with scripture, you are limited to the scriptures that the other party accepts. So when we debate in Sarame, we use Kedukdenpa Dargye's scripture, the one you're reading, right? But then when we get to the winter debates, we can't use that scripture. We have to use Jetsun Kapa and his two spiritual sons. And then if a Sakya or a Bumbo, a shaman monk comes, then we have to use like their scriptures. So we have to have a basic, or we have to go back to the Kangyur or the Tengyur, you see? For the Sakyas, you see. So when in the winter debates, sometimes you'll have, sometimes we had Bumbo, which is the original shamans of Tibet. They would come, and they didn't even want us to use Kangyur or Tengyur. It's kind of limited. What you can use is their own scriptures. So if you know you're going to debate somebody, and this applies to if you're giving a talk at a temple, or you're giving a talk at a mosque, or you're giving a talk at a church, then you know, it would be good to study their scriptures first. You know, so like before Lama Christy and I wrote the Christian book, we spent a summer studying biblical Greek in England with some, you know, crazy biblical Greek guys. And, you know, but then at least we could spout scripture to people who asked us questions. So we're just going to see scriptural references now by Jetsun Kapa, who was debating whom? He would have been debating other Kagyus or Sakyas or Nyingmas, right? And then, he has to go back to what? Basically Kangyur and Tengyur. He has to go back to the ancient scriptures of India. So you have to appreciate the context. He's going to be pulling out scriptures from ancient India because he has to, because his opponents are from all the sects of Tibetan Buddhism. Okay, so he can't use his own things. He might even rely heavily on a certain guy from the second century. Yeah, which is Aryanagarjuna. Okay, all right, here we go. So Yungi Dole Kyang, he's going back to the Mother Sutras, Sutras on the Perfection of Wisdom. And they're trying to explain why. I'm just reviewing to catch, you know, get you back to where we were. This is all dusty too, so I assume you are too. So he goes back. He's going to go back and talk about why. Why is Thich Chen Thich Chen, and why is Thich Men Thich Men? Say Thich Chen.
Thich Chen.
Thich Men.
Thich Men.
What's Thich Chen? Mahayana. Okay, Mahayana, meaning greater capacity. Greater capacity. And then take men is lower capacity. Okay. Then there's a discussion of why we're in the side of a discussion of what mainly distinguishes higher capacity from lower capacity, from the point of view of middle way, is their ideas about emptiness. Okay, so if you have advanced ideas about emptiness, then you are greater way. And if your ideas about emptiness are less sophisticated, then you would be lower way. Okay, so he's going to address a statement by Lord Buddha that higher way is superior to lower way. Okay, that would imply what, as far as views? As far as understanding of emptiness? Yeah, it would imply that the Mahayana has a more correct view of emptiness and that the Hinayana has a less correct view of emptiness. And that happens to be the way it is. But don't forget that what he's trying to prove in this section of the scripture is that people on the Hinayana track, lower track people, who are able to remove their anger permanently and their jealousy permanently, these people do so because they see emptiness in its highest form. They see emptiness in its highest form directly. Could you say then that they are not Hinayana at that point? In terms of you? Yeah, nice. Okay. They're still Hinayana in terms of, yeah, whether they are working for the good of all living beings. Okay? Whether it's their conscious intent that everything they do is to save all living beings. Okay? So they're still Hinayana from that point of view. But you can see where a problem will come. Okay? We're trying to prove that Mahayana people and Hinayana people who manage to remove their jealousy permanently do so by seeing the highest form of emptiness. But then the Mother Sutras say they're lower. So how could they see the highest form of emptiness? Ergo, therefore, people on lower tracks, arhats, who remove their negative emotions forever, must not have seen emptiness in its highest form. Got it? Got it? Okay, that's the other guy's position. Because of what Lord Buddha said, Lord Buddha said, look, the Mahayana people are superior, and the Hinayana people are inferior, because they don't understand emptiness. Well, then it would be natural to say, well, do you accept, does every Buddhist school accept that Hinayana practitioners can remove their anger forever? All schools accept that. Okay? All schools accept that. But then the highest school tries to say, but to do that, to remove your jealousy permanently, you must see the highest form of emptiness directly. Okay? Well, then how can you call them inferior? You see? So it gets confusing. Got it? That's where we are. Okay, that's where we are. And the other guy is trying to say that lower people, lower level practitioners who remove their jealousy forever must have done so by seeing some pretty cool but lower form of emptiness. Got it? That's his position. Got it? Yeah. The other guy's claiming that. Okay. He says, Rangya Tupidzeyuki Drubatonga is a kind of emptiness that's good enough to get you to the permanent end of your anger and your jealousy. Okay, what does that mean? We gave the example of Rob Haggerty. Is he, he's not here, maybe. Because he's not in control of his body and mind. But we were giving the example of somebody in a crane, right? And we believe that our body is in our control. You know, this is Geshe Michael's body. If you say, Geshe Michael, raise your arm, you know, he can raise the arm. So therefore, I must be in control of my body. If you say, Geshe Michael, think of the dearest thing in your life right now, you know, I can do that. Okay? So therefore, I'm in control of my body and my mind. Okay? But then, when I get really jealous, I'm not in control of my mind. Like, I can say to my mind, don't be unhappy this afternoon, and it will continue to be unhappy, right? Or I can hurt my arm, you know, I can hurt my body. I can, Lisette had a very bad injury. Was it during yoga? Yeah, so during yoga she had a bad knee injury. So it's not like she wanted to, or, you know, she was planning on it. 5 minutes before that she was, doing weird, exciting things, right? And then it showed that the knee was not under her control. Okay? So the lower schools say that when you grasp that there is no driver of the body and the mind, then you've seen emptiness. Okay? They think that. Did Lord Buddha teach that that was a kind of emptiness? Yeah. Did he even go so far as to say that was the ultimate form of emptiness? Probably somewhere he did, okay? When he taught Abhidharma or something, he probably did say that, okay? Was he correct? Say, Sangyeki, Zun Misung. Zun, Sangyeki Sung. The Buddhists don't speak lie. Lie is spoken by the Buddha. Because they speak about morality, so they say lie. Right? They say don't lie. And it's a long story. So the Buddha, Lord Buddha did teach that you are not in control of your body and mind. And he did at some point tell lower audiences that couldn't handle it, he said, that's emptiness. Okay? And then audiences who could handle it, he said, I was just kidding. Because they couldn't handle it. And emptiness is really something else. Okay? Emptiness is really something else. Which means that every detail of your life is coming from how you treat other people. Period. That's all. Okay? There's no part of the reality around you which is fixed, because it's all fluid, depending exactly on how you think and act and speak towards others. Even now, you can change the reality of an hour from now by how you think and how you act towards others. And the fact that nothing around you is fixed and nothing around you is not fluid because it's created by your karma, that's emptiness. Got it? The lack of concreteness to the world around you is emptiness. Meaning, nothing is impossible. All things can happen within days. For a really knowledgeable practitioner can make anything happen within days through their morning practice. You see? So if you understand emptiness clearly, you can adjust your reality almost immediately, within days, say, or within half a day, okay? Like that. That's emptiness. Got it? So is it unhelpful to tell people that emptiness is the fact that you're not in control of your body and mind? No, so Lord Buddha taught it as a stepping stone, as a segue to the higher form, because it would help people. You know, I mean, if you know your knee got hurt because of something you did to others, then you don't freak out. You know, you don't go freak out. You also don't put too much faith in physical therapy and stuff like that. I mean, you don't get upset if it doesn't work. You know, you do it. And you create the karma to make it work. But you don't believe it has an effect from its own side. Like if you're contemplating an operation on your knee, then you would work really hard for other people for a few weeks, then have the operation. Because that would shift the reality of the operation. Got it? So it's not unhelpful to understand you're not in control of your body and mind. Okay? It's a good thing. But it won't stop your anger and frustration forever. It's limited. It's limited. It's not enough to tell somebody, don't worry. I mean, you're standing up here telling us that, you know, don't worry. You weren't in control anyway. You know, don't be upset. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? You should be upset. And then you should figure out what it is you need to do not to have it happen. And for it to get back to normal, right? Which understanding that you're not the driver doesn't do. Got it? So it's not an ultimate solution to tell somebody, oh, don't feel so bad, you know, your body's under somebody else's control. And then, I mean, my reaction would be, yeah, but my dad, he was hunting in Utah, and he fell down he fell down like 10 feet or something, and he hit his back on a stone, on a rock. And then we went to a Mormon hospital in Utah. I'm not saying anything about Mormons, it just happened to be a Mormon hospital. And then, they took x-rays. They said, maybe you broke a rib. So they took x-rays, you know. And then we were sitting there waiting, and the doctor comes out and he says, oh my God, you know, praise the Lord, you know. And my dad's like, what? You know, and he says, you are so lucky that you fell down, you know. And he's like, why? And he says, well, we never would have done an x-ray otherwise, you know. And praise the Lord, you know. And he says, well, what? And he says, you have really advanced lung cancer. And you didn't know. And it's such good news that you're so lucky that you fell down, you know. You're so lucky that God led you to fall down. You know, my father, he's not a Buddhist or anything. He's just like, well, why the hell did God give me the cancer anyway? You know, and the, you know, if I'm so lucky, you know, God's so nice to me, you know, why did I get cancer? So it doesn't really make you feel better to know that somebody else is in control, you see? You'd rather be in control, and you can be. Got it? So that's a lower form of emptiness. That's going to be relevant, okay? So when you say that Mahayana is superior in the Mother Sutras to Hinayana, we're not talking about, it's not explained in terms of whether or not they possess the wisdom which perceives emptiness. It's explained in terms of whether or not they are doing what they do for the good of all living kind. Got it? Okay. Why? Why would he say that? Why is he trying to say, why does he bring that up? Yeah. If he said, Mahayana is superior to Hinayana because of the way they view reality, then the other guy would say, oh, I understand. So all those guys in lower schools that are able to remove their jealousy forever, they don't see emptiness then, right? Okay? They don't see the highest form of emptiness. He's right. He's avoiding a trap. Okay? Got it? Nod. Okay? I mean, if you're like out of it in the first 10 minutes of the term, this is bad. Okay. All right. So he's saying now, suppose somebody was a gyunshuk, right? A stream enterer. But they still believed that things were real. Well, then it would be wrong to say they were who they were. Okay? If somebody, what's a stream enterer? Is someone who has just seen emptiness directly. Okay? If they still believed that things were real, then they would be disqualified from being a streamer. You couldn't call them a streamer anymore. Got it? Why? What is it real? Is the microphone not real? Is it real or not? It functions. You're hearing something. The function of a microphone is to make my voice louder. It's working. Therefore, it's real. Yeah, it's a real microphone. Okay? So if I say this is a real microphone, does that prove I haven't seen emptiness? Okay, got it? So what does it mean when you say things are not real? Yeah, it's how you feel about why it's working. How do you feel about why it's working? I was just feeling this, and there's a little cut in the cord, you see? Right here, there's a little cut right there. And maybe it shouldn't be working, you see? I mean, is it working because the copper wire is complete? Is it working because the battery didn't wear out? You see? How do you feel about the microphone? You know, if it stopped working, would you sit there and take it apart or try to change the batteries or like that? You know, how do you... Yeah, you would. You wouldn't, like, pray for people to have better voices or something, you see? And that's ignorance. That's ignorance, because sometimes you can't get it to work. Got it? Sometimes you don't have any batteries. Got it? Batteries don't make it work. A fresh battery. Sometimes you... Don't even say fresh battery. Sometimes you don't have any fresh batteries. You only have worn-out batteries. And they don't make it work, right? But that's not because of the battery. Got it? It doesn't have anything to do with the battery. Are you telling me... Then this is where the guy in Ireland said... Are you telling me that, you know, cars don't work from petrol? And I said, right, you know. And then we had an interesting conversation. Okay. Because I got here today without petrol, and I didn't pay for petrol. Okay. You see? Got it? It's interesting. I mean, if you really understood everything, you would just do beautiful, good, happy things for other people and not worry too much about the rest. Got it? because that's why the microphone is working. And it has nothing to do with the battery. Okay? You can go get a battery and put it in, and sometimes it won't work. Or they don't have any batteries, which is more difficult to understand. Really? Okay? All right. But insofar as you can start thinking that way, you can get everything you dreamed of. Okay? Everything you dreamed of. I mean, think of the fondest dream you have in your life, the thing you would most want in your life, and you can get it by understanding the thing about the battery. Okay? You can get your, you can get the most beautiful thing you ever imagined or wanted in your life to happen by understanding the battery. So it's important to understand the battery. Got it? Just nod. Okay. So now we're to the new material. And I think it was Eva told me, don't forget the key, right? We're on to new material. We'll read it out loud. If you've never been in the class, don't worry. You don't have to know anything. I don't care if you ever learn Tibetan personally. This is not really a Tibetan class, although it's masquerading as a Tibetan class. And just have a good time. Enjoy. We're having nice refreshments later. And enjoy the class. Catch what you can catch. Don't get freaked out about what you don't catch. Some people have been in this class for 5 years. No, 5 years and then 12 years before that, or 15, 20 years. So don't stress if you're new. Just go with the flow. Pick up as much as you can. And it will help you with your life. It'll really help you with your life. Okay? So here we go. Now, we're going to read it together. And just fake it. Say whatever words you can say. Like this one you can probably do. Okay? It's not LA. Okay? But just do the ones you can do and don't worry about it. Okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Denzin Gyula Demba Tsam Ki Mayin Te Dene Dambo Iki Gyula Denzin Henke Jupa Yube. Okay. There's the key, okay? So, what isn't decided? He's saying, if you had reached the direct perception of emptiness, you should be a person who had at least once debunked or seen that things aren't the way you thought they were, okay? So if you had reached stream enterer, then intellectually, you should understand that you're still seeing things wrong, even when you come out of the direct perception. So you come out of the direct perception, and then you start seeing things wrong again, but you're aware that you're crazy, okay? And I always like to compare it to, who was the guy, Ulysses, who went to get the golden fleece? Jason, Argonaut, yeah. So they were passing the land of the sirens, and they, these ladies who sing a beautiful song, and then it's Ulysses? Well, I said. And then all the sailors get all excited, and they turn the boat in to see the ladies, and they crash on this reef, and the ladies eat them and steal all their stuff. And but Jason is smart, and he says, I know this is the land of sirens. I don't want anyone, you know, freaking out, so put wax in your ears. I mean, additional wax, because I already have some. But put, you know, put plugs in your ears, and then row like hell, you know. And then I want to hear what they sound like. So tie me to the mast, you know, tie me to the mast, and whatever I say, don't listen. Like, if I'm like, let me go, don't do it. Okay, like, he's the captain of the ship, right? You're supposed to obey him. So don't obey me for the next 2 hours, you know? Like, just ignore everything I say for the next 2 hours, you know? That's what it feels like to be an Arya, who just came out of Arya. Like they believe in the siren. They hear the siren, and they're attracted to the siren, and they know they're crazy, you know? But they can't help themselves. You see, it's not like he hears the sirens and says, "Oh, they're just sirens. I'm not gonna order the men to turn the boat." You know, he can't help himself. The minute he hears them, he's as attracted as anybody ever was, and he would die to get the boat into the reef. You know, and that's how it feels to be an Arya. You're like, I'm seeing everything wrong, and I can't stop it. But at least I know I'm wrong. Okay, so at least you know you're wrong. Okay, so can we say that a person cannot be called a real stream enter if they still see something as real? Why? Yeah, they're still seeing things as real. Got it? So the opponent here is like, wait a minute, Kedu Dhammadage. You can't say they're not real Aryas just because they're holding things as real. Everybody who comes out of the experience of the first experience of emptiness, everybody who comes out of it continues to see things as real. He says, that's not what I meant, you know. I didn't say they never saw anything as real again. I said they don't see things as real and believe in it intellectually anymore. That's what I meant. And they still have what? The inborn tendency, okay? They still have the inborn tendency to see things as real. They can't help themselves. It's been billions of lifetimes, countless lifetimes. They still have it. But they don't have the intellectual. If you ask them, are you seeing things as real? Do I see Alistair as existing outside of my behavior? And they say, yeah, you do. So am I not an Arya? You see what I mean? Is that person then not an Arya? You could say, no, I've seen emptiness directly, but I can't control how I see him because I have the habit from billions of years of habit, you know? So even though I know how Alistair behaves towards me is a direct result of how I'm behaving. I know that. So I should never get upset when he's mad at me, right? Or he says something to me. In theory, I should never get upset. And if I had seen emptiness before, I especially shouldn't get upset, right? But do I still get upset? Yes. Okay, so I still have the inborn tendency. Okay? What? At the first two resulting levels. Okay? At the first two resulting levels. So this is tricky. Dene, it's called, say Dene. What are the four results of the path of virtue? You know? These are stream enterer. Wow. Say again. Gyunshukpa? Chirongwa. Say, Gyunshukpa? Chirongwa? Chirmiongwa? Dachomba. Wow. Okay. I couldn't remember. Okay. So Gyunshukpa's stream enterer just saw emptiness directly. Okay, Chirongwa has to return once to the desire realm. Okay, Chirmiongwa doesn't have to come back to the desire realm, and Drachomba Arhat. Okay, so those are called the four results, and then they have subcategories. Okay, but what he's saying is in the first two levels, stream enterer and once returner, you still have the innate tendency to see things as self-existent. That's a little tricky about the third one. Because they're not an arhat yet. I don't know. Okay. That's, by the way, those of you who care, once you reach the third level, if you were still in the process of becoming a non-returner, you would still have inborn tendency to see things as self-existent. But he's talking about the resultant state within that level, which means they're pretty much already an arhat. Got it? They're on the border between arhat and non-returner. So really they count as an arhat as far as innate tendency to see things as self-existent. Got it? That's just for those of you who care. You know, why would the third level not have it? Okay. Because by then they're already pretty much an arhat. Okay, got it? Let's do it again. One, two, three. Pak ba la dong ni do nyong ki kya ba lung dir de ba ma se de tar de pe rang gyu ba young yete. I think air conditioning is better because you're going to lose it. Is that all right? Is it okay? Are you a little warm? Am I just higher than in my pakpa? How about that? Can you? Okay. I just think you'll get sleepy and inattentive in 30 seconds. Okay. So what's a pakpa? Yeah, Arya. It's the Tibetan translation for Arya, which means someone who has seen emptiness directly. Toni Tonyongi Kyaba. So that should be like on your tongue, okay? Say pakpa la. Toni Tonyongi Kyaba. Kyaba means it's always the case. Okay? It's always the case that an Arya is someone who has experienced, okay? Nyong is important there. What's duti nyang? Nyao dan 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 duti nyang. Yeah, it's another form of that verb. Nyangwa and nyongwa, same thing. Okay, so you know the word already. Experience the nectar. Okay? That's duti nyong. Duti nyang. It can mean to taste or to experience. So that's a very, very, if you don't take away anything from these 6 years of Madhyamika, you should take that. What makes an Arya is that they have had the experience of seeing emptiness directly. Okay, that's all. Papa la toni tonyongi kyaba. Kyab. Okay? It has to be. That's what makes them an Arya. Okay, got it? And then lungdir. Say lungdir. Lungdir. Why do I say ndir? Yeah, the penis. Okay, so lungdir. And then again, ndupa. Lungdir ndupa. Say lungdir ndupa. Yeah, that would be the proper way to pronounce it. Lungdir ndupa. Say it again. Lungdir ndupa. It's okay, got it? Otherwise, dupa means a Sanskrit equivalent of a Tibetan word or a substitute for the class, you see? And lungdir would mean the sheep is stuttering. Okay? So, really, really, okay? Okay. Lungdir dupa mase. Not only is it the case that what makes an Arya is that they've experienced the direct perception of emptiness in this school, meaning what school? Madhyamika Prasangika, the highest school, okay? The highest half of the highest. Four schools, the highest half of the final school, which is also accepted by all tantric teachings. You see, all tantra is based on the higher half of the fourth school. You just have to know that. Okay? So not only in this school do they believe that, dupa, okay, do they believe that, mase, not only in that school, detar dupe rangyubayang yate, there are also Spatantrikas, lower Madhyamika schoolers who believe the same thing. Okay? Got it? What's the Mayingak here? Huh? It must imply that there are also some Rangyupas that don't accept that. Because he says there are also Rangyupas who accept that. Okay, got it? So you learned something already from the Mayingak. Okay? Spatantrika, lower Madhyamika school. They're called Rangyupa because, very difficult, they believe that the efficacy of a logical statement is inherent within it. Like if I say the sky is blue because, or the sky is not green because it's blue, right? So do the words because it's blue, do they have a power to prove the sky is not green in and of themselves? But they appear to, right? I mean, of all the things in the world, a good reason that any rational person would accept would seem to be self-existent. It would seem to have its own power, you see? And they say, Rangyu, you know? It has its own power, okay? They believe that. They believe, in a sense, then, that words have their own power. And if they did, you would never have an argument with your partner. Understand? Okay. All right. So, and I call it, I translate it as independent school, meaning they think that a reason has an independent force or power to it, okay? Rangyu. Mm, where else are those with independent? you can call it group, okay? Why? Because I like to call the four schools the four schools, and then two groups within the higher school, okay? But there are also those of the independent group who believe the same thing. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Lo Pen Shen Jun Lo Zhu Di Sher Qin Ki Be Den Zepa Po Dang Chun Ju Ki Delpa Zepa Po Ni Kan Yin Dak. Okay, Dak means check it out. This is not Red Dox, which would be Dak Ma Drup, which would be a reason, a logical reason. Okay, this is Brett Dock, which is pretty rare, and means check it out, examine it, analyze it. Okay, what? There was a Lopan. What's a Lopan? A Buddhist master. His name was Sherjung Lodru. Okay, which Sherjung is probably an abbreviation of Sherabgi Jungne. Okay, Sherjung. His name was Sherjung Lodru. He wrote a book. Sherchingi Bedun, okay? Bedun, do you know? Yeah, you know Bedun Kunsa, which means the illumination of the secret point, okay? Bedun. Be means hidden, okay? So he wrote a book called The Hidden Meaning of the Perfection of Wisdom, Sherchingi Bedun, okay? He wrote a book called The Sherchingi Bedun. I looked it up, okay, on the way here in the car. It's a commentary to Jetsun Kapa's famous commentary on the perfection of wisdom, meaning the lower Majjhimika school. Got it? Okay? So that's a commentary on Jetsun Kapa's Golden Rosary, which is a commentary on the lower half of the Majjhimika school. Okay? So he wrote a commentary on that. Got it? Zepapo, he was the author, the maker. Okay? Maker. Bapo. And Chunjuki Drapa. What's Chunju? Bodhisattva Charya Avatara. Okay? This is Master Shantideva's famous book on Bodhisattva behavior. Okay? Which those of you who studied the ninth chapter know for sure that he must have been in which school? Prasangika. I mean it is maybe the most exquisite presentation of Majjhimika Prasangika ever written. Okay? The ninth chapter is perhaps the most beautiful presentation of the highest school of them all ever written. Got it? So he wrote a commentary on that. He's a Drapa Zepapo. He's the commentator on that. Ni, those two, Kanyin Tak. You check it out. You decide. You know? Which one was he an author of? You decide. What's that got to do with anything? You can make some assumptions, perhaps, here. I said, okay, just pretend I've said this. There are some people in the lower middle way school who believe the same as we in the higher school do. Okay? You decide, was he or was he not the author of a commentary on the lower school and the higher school of Majjhimika? You decide. I'm not saying anything. Was he? Did he write commentaries on both? Yeah, he did. He just happened to have done it. Okay? Why do I bring it up? Yeah, because in the commentary, in the lower commentary, he said you have to have a perception of emptiness to be an artist. He said that in his first commentary. Got it? So are there people in the lower half of the Madhyamika school who believe that you have to see emptiness to be an Arya? Yeah, because he's one. He's one of them. But does he really represent the ideas of the highest school? Does that statement represent the position of the highest school about the lower school? It does, because he wrote a commentary on Chinju. You got it? You see what I mean? He wrote a commentary on the highest system of Majjhimika. He knew that to be an Arya, you had to see emptiness directly. Then he wrote an explanation of the lower school, and he said they believe that you also have to see emptiness directly to be an Arya. So can we say that even in the lower Madhyamika school, you have to, that there are people who believe that you have to see emptiness to be nice? That's all. Got it? He's covering both positions. He's a master of both schools. He should know. That's what he's saying. He should know. And you decide which one he was really. Got it? Okay. That's a little hard, maybe. Okay. I think he was a Tibetan, so I'm going to... How would we check? Yeah, you would check the Sanskrit dictionary. Let's just see if he's in, if he's ever been mentioned in Sanskrit literature. So this is searching maybe a few thousand pages of Sanskrit literature and in Tibetan translation. And then, I think he's probably Tibetan. I'm not sure. We'll let that go. All right. I need a faster computer today. Hey, just kidding. I'm not hinting. All right. Sometimes you have to let the search go and keep going and then we'll come back. Okay, so... yeah? You got it? In Locus Chandra? I don't have that. I don't know. Did I spell it wrong? Did I spell it wrong? Is it Shirab Jungne you're looking for? Oh. Okay, we'll start that. Let me see how it goes. Okay. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm not sure that means it was him. You see? That would just mean that the source of wisdom. You got to try to find the whole thing. Try Shirab Jungne something. Okay, anyway. Oh, by the way. Okay, got it? He's doing a diamond dealer trick on you. Why? Is it a weather question? It's not. He did write both commentary. Got it? You have to appreciate that. All right? He's saying, you check it out, Ani Pelma, Lama Pelma. Did he write a commentary on the higher school of Madhyamika, or did he write a commentary on the lower school of Madhyamika? And then you're supposed to say, both. Don't try to trick me. He wrote both. Okay? And he said in both commentaries that to be an Arya, you have to see emptiness directly. Okay? So it must represent the position of both schools, at least for some people. Got it? Just nod. Don't look so angst. Okay. We'll just go on. We don't know that. And there's another, who said that? Yeah. There's another qualifier here. He said this, right here. And now there's some debate whether it was two different guys. And there's other Shirjung Lodras, okay? There are other ones. So then there's a whole debate in the literature about which one are you talking about. Got it? So that's why he said in D. He said, so you have to translate that. To do that, you have to be good at the database. The ACIB database. To do that, it has to be finished. To do that, you have to pay your monthly donation to the ACIB. Or these points will never be... No, they just won't be there to search. You know, seriously. And it's not done. It's about 10% done. Okay. Okay. Prajnakaramati. Prajnakaramati. Is he a real guy? But it's there, both? Or did you recreate it? Okay, good. Karamati. Prajna Karamati, right? We better stick it together because it's a long A, right? Prajna Kara, Akara, Akara. So you can't split it, even though it'd be nice to. Okay. We can take out the Lodra now, right? That's the Mati, by the way. Which came into English as mental and mind. Yeah. Okay. with a prenasal, month. Okay, Dambuyina. Let's go. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Dambuyina. Pakbala Doni Donyong Ki Kyape Sheje Shechin Sum Gyape Lungde Demba Jebe. The only word you really need to know here is Sheje, okay? This one here. Sheje means proof, okay? Or as corroboration. Okay, as supporting evidence. Okay, Sheje. So he quoted Duan some scripture Lung of the Shechin Sum Gyapa, the 300 lines on wisdom, which is the Diamond Cutter Sutra. This is an old name for the Diamond Cutter Sutra. It used to be called the 300 lines of wisdom. Okay, and what a line is a long story. Okay. But he says, Papa la doni dog nyongi kyaba. It's always the case that if you are an Arya, you've seen emptiness directly. How did he prove it? How did he support his statement that you had to see emptiness directly to be an Arya? How did he back it up? Yeah, he took a quote from the Sumgyapa, from the Diamond Cutter. Okay, not only a quote, de, lung de, what? That. What's that mean? Which Sumgyapa Lung? Which quotation from the 300? We just had one. Okay? Got it? You want to go look at it? I'm curious. Let's go see what it said. Remember, what's he using it for? Yeah, to prove as supporting evidence for his statement that if you're an Arya, you can only be so because you've seen emptiness directly. That's what makes you an Arya. Let's see how he got that out of the Diamond Cutter. Okay. So what will we search for? How about 300? There we go. So do people who have just seen emptiness, who have just entered the stream, do they say to themselves, you guys just taught it in New York, so it's just probably fresh in your mind. Does an Arya who just entered the stream say to themselves, oh my God, I just entered the stream?
Of course.
Good. Yeah. Okay. You respectfully replied, right? They do not. Okay. So you can't call them a stream enter. Then you reply, what's the French word for au contraire? You know? You know? Yeah, I mean, no, not only is it not true that you can, not true that you can't,
but you can.
You must. That's why you can call him a streamer. Why? Why can you call him a streamer? Because it would be wrong for them to say.
Because if he actually said that,
good.
Then he would have proved himself not.
Good. Okay? He just said, Why is he a stream? Sorry, I'm confused. Yeah, why can you say they're a stream mentor? Because he's somebody who would never say he was a stream mentor. Got it? And that proves he's a
stream mentor.
So everybody who says they're not a stream mentor is a stream mentor. Okay. Okay. Oh boy, there you go. You don't like that. Let's try. That's impossible. Let's try without the G. Okay. All right. He doesn't say direct, okay? I mean, it's understood, okay? Okay. Okay? So if he was the first, meaning if he wrote a commentary on... If we're talking about the same guy, if we're talking about the guy who wrote the commentary on the lower middleway school, the fact is that in that book he said you had to see emptiness to be an Arya. Okay? And he's meaning that that means that school must accept that also. Got it? Okay. Anatoly, where are we? Is he here? Well, can you tell him it's time? Everyone's like dazed. Yeah. Okay. Time to get some sugar into people. All right. Okay, this one's a little bit long, as you can see. But it cannot be cut. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Dena lungdir pak pak pala tong ni tot nyong ki chapa yin te choa nyang de to pala tong ni wan sun du tok ge pa khan shi nye ran da chom ba Korwe tingwa le ma towan depe kepa suyang me ching rikpe kyang ma tepe Okay. Therefore, dena, lungdir, in this system, papala toni tonyongi kyaba yinte, it's always the case that if you're an Arya, you must have seen emptiness. Okay? You must have had an experience of the perception of emptiness because... If you intend to reach freedom in the sense of nirvana, why did he say in the sense of nirvana? Yeah, he said he didn't want you to take it as Buddhahood. Okay, although it's also true of that. In order to achieve liberation in the sense of nirvana, you must see. Emptiness, munsum, directly. So this is the first time anyone has said directly, but it was assumed all along. Okay, but he just wants to nail it down. Munsum de toge kashi. Yeah, okay? Kashi, say kashi.
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 It means, first of all, you got to do this. Second of all, you got to do this. Okay? So that's the second of all. Got it? Kashi is the second of all. Okay? First of all, it doesn't exist in Tibetan. You gotta do this. It's the second all you gotta do. Okay? So, kanshi. It's a split, it's called a split reason. It's a very famous logical form, you know? I don't like you because you're stupid and ugly. Okay? Like, they're both reasons, and they go together. Okay? All right. Here we go. Well, maybe we could use a different example. Let's go to the end. Kepa suyang me. Say suyang me.
Suyang me.
There ain't none at all. There ain't nobody at all. Su means anybody or who. Yang me. Suyang me is a colloquial expression, an idiom that you should learn. Suyang me. There ain't nobody who's a kepa, who's a real master, and says that. Nyerang da chomba, you know, advanced practitioners on the lower tracks. Got it? Advanced practitioners on the lower tracks. Korwa chingwa le madu didn't break the chingwas of korwa. Okay? Chingwa is chain. The way I learned that word was from the Tibetan newspaper because I saw Chingdul Magmi. Chingdul Magmi liberated Tibet. PLA. People's Liberation Army in English is called, I mean in Tibetan it's called Chingdul Mangmi. Chingdul, Liberation Army, okay? That's where I learned the expression, okay? So, Korwai Chingwa Le Madur Dupa, there ain't no Buddhist sage in the world that ever said that those lower arhats hadn't broken the chains of samsara. Got it? There's nobody ever said that. Nobody. Okay. Rigpe kyangmi tebe echer. You could also never prove such a thing through logic. Okay. Try to prove that you don't need to see emptiness to get rid of your jealousy. Try to prove that. I mean, spend an hour. Try to prove it to somebody who knows. You know, like, oh, you can get rid of jealousy just by going to therapy or something. You know, or you know, something. It doesn't stick. It won't stay. So you can try to prove it, but you can't prove it. Okay. Whereas you can prove the opposite. If you understood that whatever unkind behavior is being shown to you is an exact reflection of your own behavior, then who you're gonna get mad at? I mean, who can get upset at other people? You know, that's like smashing a mirror because you don't like the face of the, you know, you're giving me a bad face. Really, you know, like then I would be smashing mirrors constantly. You know, like, oh, I don't like the face in the mirror, you know. It's your bad mirror. I'm going to get a better mirror, you know. No, really, really. That's what you're saying every time you get upset at somebody. Really. Or every time you say, I don't like a certain person. Ultimately, every asshole in your life is coming from you. So the more you complain, the more of an asshole you're establishing that you are. I mean, a real person at Diamond Mountain should be embarrassed to complain about other people. Because it's actually a statement of what an asshole you are. Got it? So at least don't talk about it. All right? Or else all your Madhyamika friends will be laughing at you, you know. Oh, Coco's complaining again about stupid people. Yeah. Okay. So let's translate it. I'm just talking to myself, okay? It's not you. And I still do it every 30 seconds or so. But I teach a good language class. Okay. That's not a bad way to translate kava, if you're interested. Must necessarily have, okay? We were just talking about you. Did you want to come here? just kidding. All right. We were discussing your power over your body and mind, control of your body and mind. He's not a gotcha because he's here. Okay. Okay. Got it? Okay. Got it? Let's go on. Yeah. That's a good question. I guess they would be someone who believed in Mahamudra view number 5, was it? Which was what? Yeah, so they would accept that. And they would say you didn't have to see that directly to become an Arya. Like how could they say that? I'll tell you what the text said, okay? What Jetsun Kapa said in Gombo Rapsa at this point. He said there are positions, there are some kind of flavor of school that believes that you could get a deep insight into the higher truths, and that would be enough to remove your mental afflictions permanently. You could become a full destroyer from that and not see emptiness directly, even their version of emptiness. Got it? That's all. There are some people who said that, and we kind of broached that earlier, if you remember. But that's what the reference would be. I believe that's what you would say. Okay, let's read this one. If you read it really well, you might get Geshe Michael on a health kick, so you're really in trouble now. I probably reduced the number of people who come to class. But anyway, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Chowa nyang de pa to pa la tong ni ngun sum du tok ge pa hek chen ki do le sum ba ma se tensionless. There's a couple of problems with the Tibetan here. If anyone wants to look at the carving, I'm not going to take the time in class, but maybe Jason or somebody. Alistair had a copy of the carving? I don't know. But maybe Jigme, you can work on getting it from Gene Smith. I think we did it, no? Check. Kedup Tenpa Dagi's commentary. We have a handwritten copy. I don't know if we have a carving yet. I think he might have a scan of a carving. There's two problems with the Tibetan that I would look into. I don't think you need to say depa. It's just drowa nyangde. Drowa nyangde pa. It throws it off beat. And it should say here, denje le yang sung bayinte. Okay? It should say something like that. Mm. You're going to do the Kali initiation, right? And the text is almost 300 pages long. And it's very ancient and very, very corrupt. And it took hundreds of hours to clean it up. It was very badly carved. So we had to compare many, many versions of it, you know. But this is the kind of thing you start to... If ACIP succeeds, we can make the scriptures purer than they've ever been in this generation. You see? If it keeps going, you know, you can do that. You can make the scriptures purer than they've ever been. You can clean them up. Okay, anyway. If you want to attain nirvana, you got to see emptiness directly. You got to. Gopa, okay? Got to. That is stated soon in the Mahayana Sutras, written by Lord Buddha, Mase. I say, not only that, Tenjunle Sumbayinte, but it's also stated in the classical commentaries from ancient India, Tenju. Shastra or Shastra? Ningbo and I were fooling around with this the other day. The Shastras or the Shastras? Ningbo, do you remember? Am I embarrassing you? Yeah, Shastra is a commentary. Shastra is a sword. And there's no relation. So that's a difference. If you ever want to teach your students the importance of pronouncing a short A in Sanskrit against a long A in Sanskrit, that's a good example. That word there, tenchu in Tibetan. Shastra is a. Say a.
A.
Then say a.
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 A. So that's the difference between a long A and a short A in Sanskrit. And it makes all the difference. It's like confusing K's and P's in English or something, you know. I just saw a pop was giving me a ticket instead of a cop. No, I mean, it's as important in Sanskrit as K's and P's. You have to know that. Otherwise, you pronounce Sanskrit to somebody who knows Sanskrit, and they have no idea what you're talking about. Because you're not making any difference between namaste and namaste. You see? And then they say, what are you trying to say? You know? Okay? Mm. So anyway... Tenjile yang sumbayinte. It's also stated in the Shastras. Okay. It's also stated in the Shastras. You should have put yang. Maybe you just wrote it wrong. Okay, anyway. That's a joke. All right. Maybe. Okay. Not only has it been stated in the Sutras of the greater way that one must perceive emptiness directly in order to attain liberation. But this has also been stated in the classical. Okay, got it? That's a segue. That's a cheap segue to what? Yeah, he has concluded his presentation that who said that you had to see emptiness to get rid of your jealousy? Lord Buddha. Okay? If you don't believe that, then let's pull out Nagarjuna. Okay? He's going to start pulling out commentaries. Got it? So his original promise to us was, I'll prove to you that you have to see emptiness directly to get rid of your negative, to be happy. You'll never be happy if you don't see emptiness directly. It's not possible to be happy unless you see emptiness directly. Not possible. That's his position. Okay? I'll prove it to you logically. And then I'll prove to you that Lord Buddha said the same thing. And then I'll prove to you that every Buddhist sage since Lord Buddha has said the same thing. Got it? Okay, so now we're at that third. He's just introducing, he's going to start going into shastras now, you know, classical commentaries. I think it's a nice way to think about it and maybe a nice way to teach it to your own students to present it like that, you know. We would all like to be happy. We would all like to have all the things we ever dreamed of, and you can. But until you see emptiness directly, it's not going to happen. It cannot happen. You cannot have a consistently happy week unless you've seen emptiness directly. It's not possible. Okay? And if you lay it on somebody like that, then they might be interested to study emptiness a little bit. Okay? All right? Think about doing it that way. Think about it. Because it's the truth. Okay? According to us. That's right. Okay. But at least people can think about it. You know, if they're already attracted to Buddhism somewhat, you can lay that on them. That, you know, if you really want to have a good week, ever, you have to see emptiness. You have to study emptiness. No, it's just true. You will never have a whole good week if you don't see emptiness directly. You can't. You won't. Okay? Not possible. The whole week. I'm saying the whole week. Okay? Okay. Maybe 8 days, all right? Okay. All right. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Pung bo dam ba zin be den zin ki shen yu sun chung mi ni pa ji si ju ki par du kan sa dam ba zin be den zin ki shen yu sun chung mi nu pe tsu ki ju. So I was on retreat. I was on retreat this summer, not far from here, and I was practicing my Christmas carols. As I walked through this wilderness, right, and it was really fun, like to scream out Christmas carols in July, in this empty 500 miles, you know. So, and then I got this one place, and I would do the monastery thing. By the way, if you want to memorize scripture, this is a really good way. And to me, they used to look like those swimmers who they flip under and they kick off. So that, like these geshes, you know, they would be and they just missed the wall and they had some kind of thing. So I was doing the geshe thing, you know, and I was doing the same 10 feet over and over, you know. And I'm singing, you know, Hark How the Bells. And then I'm like this, and there's a snake right there, a rattlesnake, you know, and I'm like, how many times have I been back and forth here? You know? And then I'm like, I just kept singing, you know? And I got close, and I sang to him, and he didn't move. He just sat there. And I thought, maybe he's dead, because anybody else would get out, would run away from this singing. And but he just stood there. And he stayed there until dusk, you know? And I sang to him until dusk. And then he didn't move, I didn't move. And then, but you can imagine how I felt about sticks after that. You know, the whole rest of my retreat, you know, every time I see a stick and I'm like, you know. And so at the moment when you see the stick, they're not like our rattlesnakes. They're smaller and uglier. We have better rattlesnakes. So they have black markings on them. Not brown. And so sticks were bad, you know, because sticks looked like black. And so, but there's a split second when you're walking and you go like this, and then there's a split second where you see the stick as a snake, right? There's a split second. It's hard to isolate in your mind. It's hard to capture the image in your mind of a living marked snake, you know? It's very hard to capture. And then in the next millisecond, you see that it's a stick, you know? But try to grasp, try to remember times when you've done the same thing. Because I did it a lot this summer, especially when it was dusk. I was having instantaneously only momentary perceptions of a living snake where there was only a stick, right? Try to focus your mind right at this moment on the overlay of the living snake. You see? It's a mental overlay. There's a stick, and then there's an image laid over it, right? And the image is breathing and has fangs and has poison and can rattle. You know, in that one moment, you see an image. Say shenyu.
Shenyu.
That's a shenyu. Got it? That's a shenyu. That's a beautiful Tibetan word. We don't have it. Okay? Shen means what you desperately believe in at the moment. You know Shenpa Shidra, right? What was that? Freedom from the four attachments, right? Which is a lojong about attachment. But this is a different kind of Shenpa where you're like, oh, you're a snake. Okay? That's Shenpa. And then that's a shenyu. What's yu? An object. So that's in English you'd have to say something like grasping desperately, dearly, to wrongly, to object. Okay? Shenyu. You know, like, I believe in that moment, I believe, and I'm like stepping back. And then suddenly it fades. Shenyu's fade. Got it? Shenyu's tend to just dissolve. And you almost can't remember them. You almost can't hold them in your mind. What was I seeing the last millisecond? What did I see? And it was a living snake with black markings on it, you know, and a rattle. And so think of that. It's really cool to think of that. Okay? So, Pumbo Denpa Zenbe Denzin Ge Shenyu. You are looking at the parts of Michael. You are looking at Michael's hand. You are looking at Michael's arm. You are looking at what's left of Michael's hair. And you are Denpa Zenbe. You are overlaying something on top of that. There's a snake there. There's a fantasy snake there, right? And you, it's there all the time. You're doing something wrong all the time. When you look at Naomi's hand, and you look at Naomi's arm, and you look at Naomi in the mirror, you're always doing the snake thing. And there's always a shenyu there. There's a fake fantasy Michael there. Okay? Got it? And what's your goal in life? Dissolve it. You see? Make it go away the way the snake image went away. It's a cool feeling, the way it dissolves. Then some people say, oh, Geshe, I got there. I don't feel like anything. I had 4 cups of vodka, and I felt like I was just nothing, you know. And that's not right. Okay, there is a stick there. It's not right to say, oh, my shenyu went away, Geshe, I don't see anything there. Then I know you didn't do it, you see. If you said, I had a shenyu, but now I see something different, you know. I see an arm whose health depends on my taking care of the latest old person I know who fell down today. Okay? Like, that's how I perceive my arm. I don't think that food has anything to do with my arm. I can drink all of Anatole's almond milk that I want, and I know it might break tomorrow. Okay? I know, I have a feeling about my arm that its health and its beauty and its existence and whether or not it can turn into light or not, and whether or not I can touch God with it, or whatever you want to call it, right? Depends only on the kindness I show to other people. That's how I feel about my arm. Then if you say that, then the shenyu has dissolved. Got it? Then the wrong Naomi's arm has dissolved. And you're not looking at the arm as something flesh and blood anymore. You're seeing it as a reaction to the goodness you've shown to others. Got it? It's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. So when an Arya who's in a good mood looks at their arm, they're just seeing a product of you know, relative goodness to others, okay? And then the shenyu is not there anymore. Got it? Okay, so how am I going to get to dissolve the shenyu that covers all of Michael? How am I going to get to the final, you know, the first emptiness you ever see directly is the emptiness of Ben, right? All of Ben. Ben as Ben. The first emptiness you will ever see directly is your own. Viet will be Viet. See, you have to get that because then you have your goal is clearer. You know, I want to experience a whole good week, Geshe Margo. Okay, cats, then guess which kind of emptiness you're going to have to see. Cats. You're going to have to see the emptiness of cat. So you might want to explore cat's emptiness because then you'd be on the right track to see that first. And that would be the one that would make you have a truly perfect week, okay, or 4 days, or whatever. Okay, so how do we get to that? What's the first word there? Start with her part. Forget his. I don't like the word anyway. Bungdan kego rikidung pumbo keche kamnam yin. Just the part. Start with her part. Start with her arm. Start with her hand. Start with a finger. Start with her last jealousy attack, if you have any. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just giving an example from my own experience. Start with the parts of your body and mind. Examine the emptiness of one of your parts, and then you'll get to the emptiness of her. Got it? Start with her parts, and you'll get to the emptiness of her. Sung, what happened? Sung Chung. What's number Sung Jinbe Top? What's number Sung Jinbe Top? Yeah, it's one of the four powers with which you can destroy your old bad karma. And this one happens to be intelligent regret. Yeah, it means to rip its heart out. Okay, rip its heart out. Number Sung Jinbe. Okay, what is it here? Rip out that idea about your arm. And then you'll be able to rip out the idea about Naomi as a whole. Got it? Start with her parts. And then you'll be able to analyze some part of you. Analyze your jealousy or analyze your or anything. Okay? So can we say that when you first want to perceive emptiness, you should perceive the emptiness of one of Naomi's parts? Yeah, if you're Naomi. Can we say that if you want to perceive emptiness of Naomi, and you're Naomi, you must first perceive the emptiness of one of Naomi's parts? So it's not true that when you see emptiness directly, you first see the emptiness of Naomi in general. So it's not true that when you first perceive emptiness directly, it's about Naomi as a whole. When Naomi sees, it is true. But didn't you just say you had to see the emptiness of Naomi's arm to get to the emptiness of Naomi? Right. But you... No, that's not... Why not? Sheja mevata. So it's not an existing thing? No, it's okay, it's okay. Don't go there. It's all right. I'll summarize it. No, you're right. But I don't want to go off because I only get a few moments with you and it'll take 20 years instead of 15. But maybe that's funner. To understand intellectually Naomi's emptiness, you got to go at it through her parts. To make the wrong Naomi disappear. But then to see Naomi directly, it's the first Naomi you ever see her emptiness directly, that'll be all of Naomi. Okay. Got it? Okay, so let's translate it. Here on Eminem, you think you see when. Okay, it's all right? It's all right? Meaning, for as long as you still perceive your arm as sustained by popcorn and almond milk, you won't see the emptiness of Michael, okay? The emptiness of Michael's arm. And in so long as you still look down and see an arm sustained by popcorn and almond milk, you will never overcome your perception that Michael is sustained by popcorn. Got it? That Michael exists other than from the deeds I do to help others. Got it? We gotta catch the silky juke, okay? Okay, I'm not even going to see if that sentence makes sense. Let's just go on. Beth is going to clean this all up in 2025. Okay. promise? Where is she? Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Remember the date. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Deji si juki padu le sa. Le de wang ki korwa gumbo lu du ki she be. Okay. You will still they suck. What? Collect karma. Okay? You will still collect karma. And that karma will force you to spin korwa in the cycle. Korwa. Okay? Of pain. This, excuse me? Sorry? Yeah. Okay. Where did you see a similar process described? Yeah, Maitreya stick, right? Very beautiful, really beautiful. And that was reflected in the Yoga Sutra, second chapter. Okay? And it was in the five kleshas presented in the opening sections of the Yoga Sutra. Okay? Which describe the steps of Maitreya, right? You come into this life with an inborn tendency to believe things are coming from their own fine, right? Then you grasp to them, you try to affect them. You get anger or desire towards them, and then that causes there's a fresh incidence of ignorance with particular objects, and then that causes you to try to affect them, and then your frustration gives you desire or hatred, and then you do things to other people who bug you, and then you collect bad karma, right? And then you. Then the cycle goes. And he's going to describe soon, he's going to get into the interrelation of the cycle, which is almost like a wheel of life thing. You get angry. You do karma. You get born again so that you can get angry and collect bad karma, which comes back to you in the next life as something bad, and then you get angry again, and then you collect bad karma. And it just, you have to get into that feeling of a cycle. And Mamakrishi and I, in the last few years, we were talking about this concept that I like of mini cycles, like mini samsaras. Like samsara doesn't have to refer to the grand play of rebirth, you know? It could be I criticize my partner, I bitch at my partner, they respond, they react to me. Then I say something again, then they say something to me, and then, you know, then there's this big question among partners of who started it, you know? Like, then you say, yeah, I started it today, but I'm just reacting to something you did yesterday, you know? And it's a chicken or egg thing. For a Buddhist, you can't have those conversations anymore. Okay, so I just cut out like 5% of your partner problems. You can't have those conversations anymore because it's a chicken or egg thing, you know. What does the Buddha say about the chicken or egg? There's always been chickens and eggs. There's always been chickens and eggs. Why? Well, you can't have a chicken without an egg. And you can't have an egg without a chicken. Ergo, there's always been chickens and eggs. No problem. That's not a problem. Okay, got it? Your partner has always bugged you. Because you bugged them. So who was first? There was no beginning. You've probably known them for billions of lifetimes, and you've been bugging each other. So it's probably better to just chill. Yeah, and then you wouldn't. Yeah, you could. You cut the cycle. You cut the cycle. But that's but what I wanted to say when I got off the subject with partners is, it's a mini samsara, right? So try to see mini samsaras happening in your life. You know, try to isolate. Try to say, oh, there's a mini cycle going on. You know, they bug me. I respond to them. Then they bug me more, and then I respond to them. So try to isolate. Try to identify mini samsaras. Samsara is not some grand thing that's happening across the billions of lifetimes. You know, you don't get out of samsara that way. You break the little ones. One by one, you diffuse the little samsaras. You say, I'll break it. You know, I'll break the bickering thing. You know, you can bicker at me all day. I'm not bickering at you. In fact, I'm going to have a good time. You know, I'm just going to have a good time. You know, you bicker if you want. You can even bicker at me. I don't care. But I'm just going to have a good time today. You know, you're not going to ruin my good time today. You can bicker. You know, and I'm not going to make the samsara continue. I'm going to break the samsara. You know, you deserve to be bickered at me by me, but I'm not even going to give you that, you know, like that, because I don't want you to bicker anymore. Got it? Like, you are an idiot. You deserve to be criticized by me. You deserve to be called an idiot by me, but I'm not going to say anything, and it's not because you're not. Okay. You got it? You got it? So you're going to have this very, what do you call it? This very, what do you call that? No, like this very stuck-up, egotistical patience with them. Self-righteous patience with them. In your mind, you're going to say, you are an idiot, and you deserve me to bicker at you, but I'm going to cut it now because it's a cycle. I understand it's a cycle. And it is my fault that you're bickering at me. So I just choose not to bicker with you anymore. And actually, I'm not only not going to bicker, I'm going to have a really good day. You know, I'm going to do stuff I like. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to be happy today. And you can bicker. It's okay. You can go in the corner and bicker. You can bicker in front of me. You know, you can even bicker in front of me and I'm still going to be happy. You know, and then you break that. What I'm saying is, get used to breaking a small cycle in your life, then you can break the grand one, you know? Because that's made up of small samsara, got it? It's not like you're trying to overcome rebirth. You just don't want to have a bad day bickering. And then when you break that little cycle, you can break the whole cycle. Because you get good at cycle breaking. You become a cycle breaker. We should probably create a new, we should create a whole new vocabulary, really. We get rid of me, you, right? We discuss that in Sampancha. And then we create words like cycle breaker. Okay. Did you have a question? But you wouldn't not speak unless you had already thought it in the mind. Well, they are. If they weren't an idiot, you wouldn't have to stop it. You know, I don't want to see idiots anymore. No, they are. They're not a self-existent idiot, but they are a Michael Roach-produced idiot. So, I don't mean to say they're not. They are an idiot. We're not in Buddhism. We're not trying to prove that the person's not an idiot. The person is an idiot. And they bug you. They really bug you. But you want to wipe. You want to remove that part of them. You want to eliminate that part of them. No, get this. If you perceive them as an idiot produced by Michael Roach, that's a correct perception. And with that perception, you can destroy the idiocy. That's all. You can't go around denying that people are idiots. They are. To an idiot. To an idiot. To a person who is acting idiotically, they are a real idiot. And they will cease to be. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't try to sit there and pretend they're not stupid. They are stupid. Change them. Change them by being good. Really, honest. They bug you. They really bug you. That's like saying a car bumper is not a bumper then when it broke your knee. It's a bumper. You know? But change it. You know, that's all. Really? Right? They're not they're bug you from your side. That's true. They don't bug you from their side. They are not self-existent buggers. They are moi created buggers. These are all vocabulary we have to create. They are Michael Roche created buggers. That's all. Yeah, and those buggers we want to stop. Right? Those buggers I can dislike. Yeah, yeah. If I didn't dislike them, I wouldn't be good. Okay, anyway. We'll do one more. Are you ready to start? You ready? Okay, we'll do one more and then we'll... We won't have debate tonight because you have to go home and do it with your partner. Okay. as if I had to ask. Okay. Okay. You will hold to me for Naomi. This is back to Naomi's arm, okay? You will hold to me for as long as you continue to hold to the parts of me. Okay? Who said that? Who wrote the String of Precious Jewels? Yeah, Aryanagarjuna. So it's a good way to prove that he does too, right? Meaning that's Aryanagarjuna's position. You know, he believes that. No, he doesn't. He does too, because the String of Precious Jewel, which was written by Aryanagarjuna, says that. Okay, got it? So Aryanagarjuna didn't believe in me. It says here, I mean, you will hold to me, meaning that's a bad thing. You will do that me thing. You will hold to me. You will hold to bugger for as long as you hold to the parts of bugger. Right? You will. So there'll always be people that bug you. Because you'll always hold to their parts of them. Yeah, for so long as I hold to their parts as being self-existently bugger arm, bugger hand, bugger's words, bugger's looks, bugger's irritating habits, then I will hold to bugger, right? So to not hold to bugger anymore, I will have to ignore their habits, pretend they don't exist, not see them. Hold them, right? If I want to stop people from bugging me, if I never want to see something I don't want to see ever again in my life, right, up from another person, then I have to ignore the parts that make them up. I have to ignore their arms, their hands, their speech, their manner. He just said, if you want to stop holding to them, you have to stop holding to their parts. He said that. He said me. Me is the, I mean, you can say them. For as long as you will hold to them, bugger, for as long as you hold to their words, their actions, their manners, their manner. Right? Right. Ah, that's what I'm waiting for. Explain. Yeah. So you're saying it's desirable. The implication is, it's desirable to stop holding to a bugger. What's that mean? Yeah, okay, got it? They aren't bugging you from their side. Got it? How do you establish that they are not bugging you from their side? Yeah, take a piece of them. That's all he's saying. Take a piece of them first. What? Take the last thing they said to you. Take the way they move, you know? Take the way they move. You know, but take one. Just take one and work on that. Examine it. That's what he's saying. You know, examine the words. So they said, you know, you're a fool or something. They said you're a fool. So then you examine you're a fool. You don't, like, try to deal with the whole person. That's what he's saying. Jisi pumbur zinyupa, desi kansatimbur. You will, if you want to stop holding to them in the wrong way, just work on some little thing they did. Work on a few words that they said. Like, you're a fool. So Geshe Michael, have you ever in your life used the expression, you're an idiot, or anything similar? You know, like, have you gotten yourself into that habit ever? You know, that it could be that someone would accuse you of being a fool. You know, and then you have to say, yeah, I just, in the class the other night, Gelsey was trying to get me not to use that language, and I did, repeatedly. You know. Okay? So then I'm no longer holding to the bugger because I'm no longer holding to the three words they said to me as coming from them. Got it? So then that's how I drop the bugger, by dropping one of their pieces. I stop a mini samsara to stop the big samsara. Got it? It's so beautiful when you make a little progress at it. You know? You can use it and then, you know, go after one bugger in your life, you know? Or go after the opposite. Go after someone you really want to be in your life or someone you really love, you know, and use the same method and see how it works, you know? See the dependent origination of their arm or their lips or their ears or their hands, you know, like someone you want to be with, you know, as a friend or whatever. But contemplate where the arm is coming from and where the hips are coming from or where the shoulders are coming from. And contemplate, now I'm saying the opposite of a bugger, you know, someone you want to be with. Then contemplate where any one part of them has to be coming from. And then that's the first step to getting them into your life, you see? So then, in theory, you could accomplish anything. You could have anyone, any divine being be in your life. You could by working on the pieces of a divine being, you could bring a divine being into your life consciously. And not like, what do you call it, the lottery. You know, like, oh, you know, I'll go to that Bhagavad Gita thing in New York. Maybe I'll meet somebody. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Say, how much time we got? I got 5 weeks till Bhagavad Gita. So let me design somebody. You know, let me design somebody to show up at Bhagavad Gita, you know, and you work on it. And it's nice, you know. And then whenever they start bickering, you know the antidotes. You know where it comes from, you see? You not only bring the person, but you make them eternally beautiful. You see? You don't go through this cycle where there's the hot date, and then there's the pursuit, and then there's the culmination, and then there's the bickering. You know? No, you can keep the pursuit going like indefinitely. Like that, you know? Something like that. It's more fun. Okay. All right. Let's do a prayer. Bhuhi jurchi metta ta niramichi ninde gabbani sanghe shinde nidhe uvahi dogu namda shina jipasho irangurana avakamiratayami dikevoku sanamyeshe tsantoshi sanamyeshe nechuhi dambakuni topashi. So the ordination was shifted to the 15th, Thursday, the 15th of October. We'll be ordaining some two full monks, one novice monk, and one full nun. Two full nuns? One. Oh, yeah, two. Well, anyway, a whole bunch. And it'll be very, very, very beautiful and important because Chuki and I, we worked for several years to create a unisex ordination ceremony because the ordination ceremony for fully ordained nuns was lost in Tibet about 1,200 years ago. So, and for 1,200 years, people have not recreated it from the existing records, which could have been done. And so we just went ahead and did it. And you know, there are existing scriptures that we pieced it back together. But it took a long time. And it's beautiful. And it's accurate and authentic. So we'll be doing some beautiful ordination ceremonies, you know, next week. So if you can, come to that on the 15th, right? Okay, have a good night.